Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Tell me about your Soul Silver run.
So I am...
That's how loud you're going to be? Holy shit.
Yeah, maybe. I'm four gyms in.
Four?
I just got through the Pokemon Lighthouse.
You're going to talk like this volume, though? I feel like you're going to talk louder.
No, I'm going to talk a little loud. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking about too many things at the same time.
Thinking about.
Yeah, so I just went through the lighthouse to see Jasmine, who tells you to go to Cyanwood City so that you can get the Pokemon medicine for the Ampharos.
Fuck,
that's up in the tower.
Water. Okay.
How do I not be in edit mode? I just want to look at it. That was the worst.
Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Ready?
Let's do this. Okay.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYDWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Hey, you! Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week we have a little bit of a game, sort of. We're going to be talking about the 20 most commonly played cards in CEDH, except I don't know what they are, and Cam does. And I'm going to try to write them down, and we're going to see how close that I get. And we're also going to ask you, the listener or viewer, that if you're along with us, also write down a list of 20 cards and see how close you can get.
If you're in an appropriate location to write them down.
Some people are driving when they're listening to this. If you're driving, don't do that. Don't type the list on your phone. Maybe stop to go to the bathroom real quick, and then while you're parked, type it down real quick, and then come back. Don't do it while you're driving.
Exactly, yeah. But if you are currently taking a shit, pull up the Notes app and then type in what you think the top 20 most played cards. So this includes lands that see play in CEDH.
Now there is probably a good, I should have done this beforehand, because now you're going to have to wait at least 40 seconds for me to write all of these down. So
if you can write down one card every two seconds, I'll be really impressed.
You think it'll take me longer than that?
Oh, yeah.
Am I doing order?
Yeah, order matters.
Oh, okay.
It's the top 20. I'm going to go in order.
I'm starting at number one, though.
Okay, that's fair.
For my brain, I have to start at number one. I'm writing my list.
Okay, no, I think that makes sense, yeah. Because it's going to get harder as you go through 20 more cards trying to figure out, well, what's better,
Mox Diamond or Chromox? I think Mox Diamond's better, but yeah. Mana Crypt's gone now, so. Command Tower. Well,
We're counting lands.
And Command Tower is probably, I say probably more popular than fetches, but monocolor decks don't play Command Tower, but there are less of those than the others. Okay.
I'm really going to have to cut this part up and speed
through
a lot of this.
You're
going
to have to speed through this because this is going to take me way more than 40 seconds because I have to also think. I'm not just writing them down. I didn't take into account thinking.
Dude, I really should take into account thinking a lot more in my life.
Remembering all the names of all the fetch lands in the
right order.
That's
also really hard, yeah. You're allowed to write down nicknames for them, though.
I wonder how many actual spells are on there.
I'll give you a hint. There's 10 lands and there's 10 spells.
10 lands and 10 spells. Okay, that's a helpful hint.
There's 10 lands and 10 spells. And I think it's fair to say this because the other idea that I had, I'm talking to the viewer and not you.
So you got
to
fill up the dead air here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing a lot of
otherwise we're
cutting.
Leaving. No, we're leaving it all.
No, we're staying in. Yeah.
Cut.
Yeah, so like the other idea that I had for this episode was that we were just going to talk about the top 10 non-lands. And I was like, oh man, thankfully, this list from MTG Top 8, which is where I'm getting this information from, this list had 10 lands and 10 non-lands. And it's not like they did that on purpose. I think it was just coincidentally, there were 10 lands and 10 non-lands in the top 20 cards most played in CEDH. And what I'm also really excited for, now you at home and you, Dylan, don't have to guess this, but this list that I have also has the percentage of decks that are playing these cards as well. And a lot of these numbers I was a little bit surprised by. And today is June 12th, which is a Thursday, and I pulled this screenshot into the Play to Win podcast Google document on June 11th at like 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that means that this is pretty new, but I also know that we are recording this episode before MagicCon Vegas, which means that there's like 2 weeks before this episode comes out. However, this list is filled with ubiquitous cards. We're not going to find like weird Sisay cards that we get the chance to talk about today, unfortunately. This is like all cards that like every single deck that can play them are going to play for the most part. So I really don't think that this list changes all that frequently. Like, I think it stays the same, especially when we start to look at the percentages from like the number one to the number two spot, although some of them are actually really close. Some of them are really close. Okay, yeah, maybe some of them I could see getting swapped out, but I think generally it's these 20 cards. How are you doing over there?
Two more, I think.
Did you write Tarmogoyf? Did I see Tarmogoyf?
No.
Oh, I thought that said Tarmogoyf.
Let me count again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 on one page and then 3 on another. I almost got it.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to go through the entirety of your list now, or should we go your number 20 and then I'll tell you what the real number 20 is?
Oh, I was thinking that you'll tell us what the actual answer is and then I will tell you where mine was on the list if I got it at all.
Oh, awesome. Like, okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
So
okay.
Let's start out with the list. Now that they've waited 10 whole minutes, because you kept that whole thing in, thank you.
Of course, yeah. Does that include the time that we took for you to get water before we started too?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
So I have my list written down. You're going to tell us what the actual top 20 list of the most commonly played cards are in CDH. I'm going to see how close my list got. And viewer at home, you can unpause now.
Oh, wait. Shit. How are they going to hear that?
How are we going to tell them to unpause? Guys, you got to unpause.
You got to unpause. Somebody go through the internet and tell them.
We're like trapped in the computer.
That's so funny.
Let us free. Unpause us.
We're in cyberspace. All right. So the 20th most played card in CEDH is Force of Will.
Nope. Didn't even get that on my list.
You didn't get that on your list, really?
Didn't even get that. Okay. Force of Will. That makes sense.
I think that's something to keep in mind is that blue is probably the most played color in CEDH.
Yeah, definitely.
And these are some of the strongest, most impactful effects that are going to come up on here, too.
I have three blue cards on my list. And as I'm thinking right now, I think that Force of Will is going to see more play than one of mine that I put on the list, because I think Force of Will goes about in just about every blue deck.
There's reasons why some blue decks wouldn't play Force of Will, because it's in 68.4% of decks. But that means
decks that
like,
can play it, or just decks, period?
Of decks.
Of decks, period. Okay.
It just says decks. Okay. So I have to assume it's
just total decks.
Of all decks. Yeah, which means that there's probably 70% of the format plays blue.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, and then like 1.6% of the format is like sticking to the old, oh, I don't want to flip it off of ad nauseum.
Right. Oh, I think I know there are some Rog'Sai players that don't play it because when there's just like not as many blue cards in some of the really turbo Rog'Sai lists that are just
fair.
Like as fast as possible, they don't want their Bolas of Citadel to hit anything off the top to get stopped by a counterspell. I want to try to win over and over and over again as quickly as possible. I think the strength of Rog'Sai is that you get to go fast and still maintain some counterspells, but there are certain players that don't play it. But yeah, I guess this makes sense that Force of Will is this high up in the list. I would have put this lower for some reason, but yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, it makes sense.
I think blue just makes that much up of the pie of CEDH and like what people are actually
and
playing.
Force of Will has everything when it comes to counterspells. It's not only free, but it also can hit anything. It's not restricted. It's not a Force of Negation where it's only non-creatures. It's not a Flusterstorm where it's only instants and sorceries. A lot of other counterspells have a restriction on what they can hit or are way too much mana to be played. Even like Mana Drain doesn't have a restriction, but like I haven't seen it in the past year, right?
How are you going to get blue, right? Like
gonna,
I need that hold for Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, you're going to hold that mana up, and then what if they don't cast something that you want to counter? Now you wasted your mana by not doing anything, holding up to your blue, which is kind of silly, but we haven't seen it in like over a year, I feel like. So yeah, Force of Will, most powerful counterspell. There aren't any other counterspells above this on the list, are there? Can you reveal that?
Oh, you sweet summer child.
Oh, no, my
Dylan.
List is so wrong, I think. Oh, brother.
There are more played counterspells than Force of Will.
Okay, that are in this list. All right.
There's a more played counterspell than Force of Will.
So far, I'm at one loss.
One loss. All right. Keep that in mind. So you're down a Force of Will. Should we say what you had at your number 20?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Then your facial expression can tell me where it is on the list. My number 20 is Underworld Breach.
Dude, you're thinking way too small.
Too small? Is it not even on the list?
You were thinking too specific. It's not even on the list.
It's not, dude, I honestly put it there as like a, like a symbolic vote almost as my 20th pick because like I think Underworld Breach is the most powerful card in CDH, but like I somehow knew that it was not going to be like very common because realistically only like two decks play it. Right? Tim Nekrom and
Rock'Side, pretty much, yeah. I mean, my Atali plays it, but not every Atali plays it. Maybe some, I bet a lot of Rog'Thras decks don't play it.
Yeah, I think a lot of Rog'Thras decks play no red cards.
Besides Song of Totentaz, that's it.
Not even that one. Like, some of them like are on straight up no castable red spells.
That's where they've gotten.
It's Deflecting Swat and the copy, Flare of Duplication.
Probably Simeon Spirit Guy.
I'm not even sure about Simeon Spirit Guy. Like, it's literally, it's
what do you need
deck.
The red
There's
mana
no red.
For?
There's, you don't need the red. At all. The ones that are playing red do get to play Underworld Breach and Song of Creation, not even Totentaz necessarily, but Song of Creation.
Oh, right, yeah.
You get to like more comfortably play the extra colorless lands that untap Gaia's Cradle because you're only in two colors.
Yeah.
So you get to play a little bit more utility lands in like the Simic version of Rog'Thras. I'm getting off topic here, but I think that way is the way to go, honestly.
All right.
Two losses for me.
Two losses so far. Oh, yes, they're both losses. Yeah. Yep.
I can get up to 40 losses here.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to this. All right, so the number 19 then is Mana Confluence.
Oh, I have that on my list, but I have it higher up.
Okay, all right. So you were kind of on the right track.
Does this count as a win, or is this also a loss?
It's a half of a win.
Half a win. Put 0.5 over on the win.
Put a 0.5 over on the win side. Yeah. So Mana Confluence comes in at literally a tenth of a percentage point higher than Force of Will, 68.5% of decks, which surprises me because why aren't more two color decks playing this card?
I agree. I have Mana Confluence at 14. Can we, real quick, without looking, do you know the difference between Mana Confluence and City of Brass? Does City of Brass deal you a damage that One Ring can prevent, or is it the other way around?
That's correct. So City of Brass has a separate triggered ability that says when it becomes tapped, you get dealt a damage. So if someone Rashad imports your City of Brass, it deals you a damage. But Mana Confluence only deals you a damage if you pay life to make mana of any color. So if you have Urborg in play and you tap your City of Brass for black with Urborg, you are pinged for a damage. You can tap Mana Confluence for a black with Urborg without paying life.
Okay, so and then things like Yasharn that say you can't pay life, Mana Confluence can't be activated with Yasharn up, but City of Brass could be.
Exactly, and like you said already with the One Ring and damage, because you would get protection and then tap City of Brass.
So City of Brass is better.
City of Brass, like, in theory.
Right now, because of the One Ring, Yasharn isn't as relevant?
And because there's not things happening that like people are tapping your other lands.
That one, yeah.
In 60 card formats when Mana Confluence was printed, this was an upscaled City of Brass because like Fire Ice is something that happens to people that play 60 card formats.
Right.
That's not something that happens to us now.
That tempo isn't relevant at all here, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So I got that 0.5 right. I had that at my 14 slot. I think I said that. Mana
Confluence,
okay, yeah,
I had
it at 14.
I think that's good. What did you have at 19?
Yes, my 19. I will show you over here. My 19, I had Tassa's Oracle.
Okay, I'll say there's no win conditions on
this. There's no win
list.
Conditions. I don't know what's popular at all.
No, because I think part of it with Tassa's Oracle is that there's a lot of decks that will try not to play Tassa's Oracle if they don't have to.
That makes sense too.
There's a lot of people in our comments that just hate Tassa's Oracle so much.
That's also true.
I don't even know if they all play CEDH, but
I love Thoracle.
So do I.
I mean, by 19 and 20, I was kind of running out of ideas.
You're just like trying to
what
name...
What the fuck is popular?
It's like
I don't
Billy
know.
On the streets.
But yeah, so Thassa's Oracle, this is another one like Underworld Breach that really only sees play alongside Demonic Consultation normally. So you're only going to see it in those Demir decks, not even all blue decks.
Some Underworld Breach decks, like if you're in Jeskai, don't need Thassa's Oracle because you can still win the game without it. So I think that's another consideration.
So this is another loss for me.
So number 18, you don't have on your list. This is an immediate loss. This is Flusterstorm.
Oh, nope. I don't have this one at all. Okay, Flusterstorm. Interesting. That is like one of the last counter spells that I ever want to cut, especially the one mana ones.
It's virtually uncounterable in the situations where you really want it to be. And it's a protective spell, even more so than Force of Will is. So I think that the decks that don't want Force of Will want to lean on Flusterstorm a little bit more.
Interesting, because I don't look at it as much of a protective spell, because if I cast Demonic Consultation and you cast Force of Will and I Flusterstorm your Force of Will, you say Flusterstorm resolves, in my hand again, I have another counter spell when it stops it hard, whereas I like Flusterstorm defensively for me. So you cast Demonic Consultation, and now I Flusterstorm your Demonic Consultation, and now your counterspell to counterspell back isn't as helpful here, right?
I guess maybe it depends on the deck. I'm used to storming off before I put a win con on the stack.
Sure, okay.
So in those situations, I feel like a lot of times what other people are trying to do is wait for my storm count to go up and waste a lot of resources.
It's going to depend, and I think Flusterstorm is probably so popular because it has so much play to it. When you cast it is super relevant.
It goes both ways.
It goes both ways. It is still really good in both of these situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really helpful, but
Better in some. I think your point stands,
but
though.
But I like it better when it's used to counter a win condition, you feel the real power of it. Whereas when it's used to protect your win condition, sometimes it's just like, that would be the same thing as Swansong. They just let it resolve and then they counter your win con over top of
it. It could go both ways, because if they just go Thassa's Oracle Demonic Consultation too, then your Flusterstorm is a little bit weaker than
because
if
they
were
cast spells.
Yeah, as opposed to if they were trying to add Gnaw. So it's matchup dependent very much so.
Yeah, the fact that you can kind of control how powerful it is also makes it
helpful
on your end too.
Yeah, because then you can storm off and you can talk to the table and say, does anyone have any other spells that they can cast? Like, can you Noxious Revival something?
Yeah.
And then you can get them to bump your storm count up to try to make it harder to interact with.
I don't want to blow up a little bit of your spot here. I like it against Itali. I think it's a pretty good.
It's really good against Itali.
If you're
going to
play interaction, I had cut it from Sisse embarrassingly for a little while, and I'm putting it back in. Not for Itali.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's so good and you're in all of my pods definitely makes me look at Flusterstorm a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's one of the reasons why I don't like the Seething Song and like the ritual variants. I'm helping make it harder in order to do stuff. Whereas this way, like, a lot of my ways to get Itali out now can still just get Itali out, and then I get the creatures only.
Right.
And then you can still blow me out from all the good instants and tutors that I really want to have instead.
So yeah, this makes sense to Flusterstorm. I didn't realize so much interaction was going to be on the list.
That's it for interaction.
That's it for interaction. So that means that Flusterstorm is the best counterspell in CDH?
That means that it's the most played, because here's the other thing. Most played could mean that a lot of people could be wrong about stuff.
That's true.
Right? But I honestly don't think that that's the case, because I think a lot of these cards, like, why would you leave home without them?
I do think both of these are the best version of what they do. Force of Will is the best free interaction. Flusterstorm is the best one mana interaction.
I would agree with that, yeah. I am a little surprised that the free one is not played more.
Yeah.
But this actually came in at 68.9%.
I guess Flusterstorm probably sees play in just about all blue decks, where Force of Will does have those weird Rog Silas that are cutting it for speed.
Yeah, so maybe, okay, so maybe now
I feel like they're also cutting Flusterstorm.
68.9% of the format is blue.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to guess.
No,
that's not true.
Because 69%, I think, makes
there's
sense.
There's more blue cards that are higher on this list, actually.
I have, I think, two more blue cards on my list.
I think that's correct.
Okay, yeah, well, we know what they are then.
Yeah,
so now, I am at 0.5 wins and 4 losses, I think.
I think you're off to a great start.
Should I give you my number 17? Is that where we're at?
Number 17 is next. Yeah, what do you have?
Esper Sentinel.
Oh, you're close, but that's not on the list.
Not on the list.
Instead, it's Rhystic Study.
Fuck, okay. Do you know where Esper Sentinel is, or you only have the 20 in front
of
you?
I only have the 20, because it only gave me the 20.
Another loss.
So that's another loss, yeah. But Rhystic Study comes in at 70.3% of decks, which is not all blue decks. Evidently.
Not all blue decks.
It can't be based on
because
other
there's
things
there's
that
another
I've
blue card above this.
Do you know why? Because Lurrus is a companion, and there are some decks that play Lurrus as a companion.
Okay. Yeah. You want me to tell you where I have Rhystic Study?
Yeah. Where do you have Rhystic Study?
I had it at 11.
So that's you have two losses for this slot.
Yeah. Oh no, but that's a 0.5 because I had it on the
You're
list.
You're right, because it's on the list. So
it counts as a loss and a 0.5.
Is that what it did before?
I think before it was just a 0.5.
Then it's just a 0.5. Okay, then it's not a loss.
Okay, so I'm not gonna write down my next loss.
You got a loss for Esper Sentinel and you get 0.5. So it's a loss and then a half a win.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it is. I have 2 half wins and 5 losses.
Rhystic Study does not get you a loss, but maybe when we get to 14 and Rhystic Study is there for you, maybe it ends up getting you a loss, or do we have to remember it?
We will make up more of the rules as we go along.
Yeah, Calvin Ball.
I don't know what Calvin Ball is.
Oh, it's from Calvin and Hobbes. It was a game that Calvin plays that they make up the rules as they go along.
Nice. Yeah. That's what this is.
This is Calvin Ball. Yeah.
So
that was 17?
My 17 was Esper Sentinel.
And then I told you that Rhystic Study was the real 17.
Was the
17.
True 17, yeah.
So now we're going to 16. The real 16.
Oh, wait. I have messed up because Underworld Breach was my 20. Thassa's Oracle was my 19. Esper Sentinel was my 18.
Well, then what's your 17?
My 17 is Marsh Flats.
Oh, no. Marsh Flats is, weirdly enough, not on the list.
Not on the list? That's another loss.
No, not on the list. There is only one.
One what?
non-blue fetch land on this list.
Is it Verdant Catacombs? That's my 16.
Verdant Catacombs is the number 16
okay.
card.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's a full win.
That's one full win. That's not only a win for Verdant Catacombs, but that's also a win for placement, though, too.
Yeah. That's two wins.
So that's gnarly, yeah. Okay, 71.3% sure. of the meta. Although we could argue, though, that it's only there because of alphabetical order. Because number 15 is also at 71.3% of the meta.
Okay, what is it?
City of Brass.
City of Brass is my 15.
No way!
City of Brass is my 15.
No way!
Is that a double win?
Two more wins? Wow, so even if it wasn't because of alphabetical order, you still would have gotten that. That's crazy, dude. Wow, yeah.
That's two double wins.
So yeah, City of Brass is better than Mana Confluence for the reason that we said. And Verdant Catacombs is the only non-blue fetch land that we're going to see on this list.
Yeah.
Because I think green and black are going to be the second most important colors to get.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like Arid Mesa is the least played based on my hunch.
Yeah, Arid Mesa is normally the first one that I cut.
Yeah, so I would imagine that what's the opposite of Arid Mesa?
The opposite of Arid Mesa. That's a great question. It's possibly a little philosophical.
Verdant Catacombs.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah,
yeah, that's where I was trying to go.
Okay, no, that makes total sense. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then my 14 is wrong because my 14, I have Mana Confluence.
Oh, okay, yeah, so that's going to be a loss for
that's,
you.
That's
a, yeah.
that's an, I take that as another loss?
Well, I mean,
yeah, because I got the 14 wrong.
Yeah, because your number is wrong. Yeah, it doesn't say Mystic Remora, and it should say Mystic Remora.
Oh, okay. I have Mystic Remora at 12.
Oh.
Is that another loss?
See that?
Wait, I feel like I'm double counting my losses somehow.
I think you can get up to 60 losses.
I got Mystic Remora on the list. It was just
so that's
half
a point.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a half.
But your placement for number 14 is wrong.
So that's another loss.
So that's another loss. Yeah. It should have said Mystic Remora, and if you wanted to know the percentage, it's 72.1% of decks that play Mystic Remora.
Is this the most played blue card?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I figured that it would be Mystic Remora and then Rhystic Study as most played blue cards. And in my mind, realistically, besides... I'm giving away my list. Besides Mana Rocks, these are the last spells on my list.
These are the last spells that aren't Mana Rocks.
You know what? That's not exactly right, because my 13, we can say...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
My 13, I have one spell. It's Demonic Tutor.
Oh, no. Demonic Tutor is not on this list.
That's another loss.
That's another loss. Yeah. Your 13 should have said Scalding Tarn.
So I have Scalding Tarn at 7. So is that a loss and a half?
You have loss and a half for this because Scalding Tarn is on the list. Yeah. Scalding Tarn is 73.8% of the meta.
That's
and
at
the
13?
Least. Yeah, the least played blue fetch land, probably because of its price.
Interesting.
Even though we're a proxy-friendly format, that's what I would wager. The decks that want to only run a certain number of fetches either don't care about red or are like, I don't want to spend so-and-so amount of dollars on this fetch because it's the most expensive.
I put it as my second most popular fetch land because I thought the best colors are blue-black. I have my Polluted Delta as the highest one. But then the next would be the other portion of Grixis that also includes blue, which is Scalding Tarn.
See, I think you have a biased way of thinking what the best colors are because I think that there is...
Is it not Grixis Core anymore?
Grixis Core is not going to be the most popular fetch colors.
Interesting.
Right
okay,
now. Yeah.
Okay, okay. So we were on 13, I'm pretty sure. Now we go to 12.
19, 18, 17, 16, 15.
Oh, you're counting 14, it out?
13 was Scalding Tarn,
yeah.
right?
So my 12 was Mystic Remora, but I got that right, so we already did that.
You got the half point for getting Mystic Remora.
I got the
Remora,
half point, yeah.
But your number 12 does not say Flooded Strand.
So that's a loss.
So that's a loss, yeah. But
I have Flooded Strand at 8.
So that's a half of a victory.
That's a half point. But when we get there, it'll be another loss because it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What a shame, man. What a shame.
So what number was Flooded Strand really, 12?
Flooded Strand's at 12, and it's coming in at 74.6% of decks here, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And then that means that number 11...
Yeah, where was Mystic Remora again?
Oh, you can't ask me.
Oh, shit.
It was Flooded Strand, then Scalding Tarn, then Mystic Remora.
So 14 it was.
14, yeah. Because City of Brass is 15.
We'll evaluate these fetch lands a little bit more once we get to the end of them.
What's good call, yeah.
What's number, I guess, 11, the next one?
So then the next one after Flooded Strand at the 74.6% play is Polluted Delta at 75.1% play.
Okay, so I feel like we've gotten my points wrong here, but I have Rhystic Study at 11. I feel like I already counted this as a loss, but maybe I didn't. So I think since my 11th slot is wrong, that's a loss for Rhystic Study. And I have Polluted Delta at my number six, which will be a half point.
That would be a half a point, yeah.
For now.
See, I feel like that we're still on track. For the number 11 spot, you're still getting a half a point and a point.
Okay, I'm realizing now that I put Ancient Tomb as my number 10 way too low, and maybe Ancient Tomb is much higher.
Ancient Tomb is way higher than 10.
I put Ancient Tomb below the blue fetch lands.
Oh, no. See, there's more decks that are interested in
Every single deck plays
Ancient
Tomb,
right? I think Magda is a great example of that. Yeah, because they're not
more
as...
Sense.
They don't play the fetches, really.
All the monocolor decks all play Ancient Tomb.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to have trouble naming a deck that doesn't play Ancient Tomb, but when we get there, we'll notice that there are decks that don't.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so if my number 10 is wrong, do I ask where Ancient Tomb was now, or we get to there when we get to
there? I don't
want
to spoil where Ancient Tomb is.
That's another loss
yet.
For me. Yeah. Okay.
But Misty Rainforest should have been the number 10.
Oh, I thought it was a... Why do I have it written down 14? Because I saw Misty Rainforest and wrote the 14 next to it thinking it was Mystic Grimoire.
No, okay, yeah.
Misty Rainforest is what?
14. Misty Rainforest is number 10.
Fuck, I have Misty Rainforest at my number 9.
Oh, that's so close.
So I got that wrong, but also 0.5.
This is actually the most played fetch land in the format.
Misty Rainforest
is 75.9%.
Oh, because of Kinnan?
Because of Kinnan.
Because of Rog Thrass.
And I would say because of any Thrasios thing too.
Yeah.
But again, like most of these decks are going to want to play all of them.
Okay.
But I think there's more decks that like want to make sure that they are including these. I'll note that Lannis deck that I just played on the channel only runs Misty Rainforest.
Only Misty Rainforest.
Only Misty Rainforest. No other fetches. Yeah.
Yeah, I have Misty as my fourth most popular. And I think because of my Grixis skewing that I'm now fully realizing that I think in the last 6 months, green has like fully taken like the third best color. Maybe.
Because Dockside's not here anymore.
Yeah, maybe even the second best color then. Because if blue-black was the best color combo, Polluted Delta would be the best.
This would
line,
start
right?
to insinuate that because of all of the Ouroboro Breezer stuffs that
Ouroboro,
people can
Breezer,
do,
Breezer, yeah.
like this, the blue-green stuff, like we were just talking about how rug decks in the format don't need to play red.
And blue-green has been the best thing to do in Commander for a long time, but in CDH, that had been pretty starkly different.
Because green was just so much worse.
Green had been kind of ass for, not ass, but just like the mana advantage that red for Dockside gave you was so much greater that it felt like red was much more important.
But here's something else to think about. Atali can't play Polluted Delta.
That's...
So, like, there's also these, like, color combinations that people are going to be in that are going to, like, have to make them pick and choose which one of these fetches they can play.
And that makes sense because the closer that you get to that Grixis pile, the closer that you're playing a whole bunch of fetch lands and you're not playing...
Very specific ones.
Very
specific
ones.
That, like, oh, I'm not playing that because my color combination can't, because I'm playing Rocco or something.
So that was your number 10?
So Misty Rainforest was number 10.
My number 9 was Misty Rainforest, so that's a loss.
So close, dude. So close.
What was the real number 9?
Arcane Signet.
Oh,
the first of the mana rocks.
That's a big loss for me because I didn't even include Arcane Signet.
You didn't include Arcane Signet.
No, which I guess that's, that makes sense that Arcane is the fifth one now.
Some decks don't want it. Like, some two mana commanders aren't interested in it because, like, you just get your commander out already and it's not that good.
I'm realizing that I think I maybe forgot Mana Vault.
Dude, that will be a huge loss for you too eventually, yeah.
I don't know why I was not thinking of Mana Vault as being the most popular, but in the absence of Mana Crypt, it really is.
It really shot up, yeah. Okay. Just look at its price. Arcane Signet comes in at 77.4% of decks.
Okay.
I thought that it was going to at least hit, like, 80 or something like that.
Yeah, this makes sense. I had not... Yeah, no, Arcane Signet goes in so many. I really should have thought of it for this list.
Yeah.
I just completely missed it.
But,
yeah.
like, again, like, two mana commanders that aren't interested in, like, ramping past that. Like, I'm torn on if Oswald would want it because Oswald gets it out quickly, but, like, maybe you do want a two mana artifact to start your chain.
Yeah, that just for no damage or no, just two for one is just good enough.
It itself pays for the Oswald activation. I don't know.
Okay, what was the next one?
All right, so then that's the number 8 that we're we're coming up to then, right?
My number eight was Flooded Strand, which is another loss.
Ooh, yeah. You should have had Mox Diamond here.
Oh, Mox Diamond. I had way higher. That's a 0.5. I had it at my number two.
Why are only 81.7% of decks playing this card? Almost 20% of the format.
That's got to be price thing.
Excludes it. You think it's a price thing?
It's got to be people who are playing not proxy, and are they just playing with the real cards?
You know what? We're on MTG Top 8, which means that there could be some number of non-proxy tournaments that are listed here, which might end up meaning that that's why.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have actually heard a decent amount of people telling me how they don't love Mox Diamond recently because drawing when you don't have a land sucks so much, but I feel like the boost it gives to your opening hands is so powerful that it overcomes any of that.
Oh, yeah. Let's start cutting Gemstone Caverns and Chrome Mox because it's so bad to draw later.
I forgot Gemstone Caverns.
Oh, dude, you're going to get fucked up by that, too. Yeah.
Writing the list on the spot was so hard. Gemstone.
Yeah,
of course, Gemstone Caverns. Yeah, of course, Gemstone Caverns is
good. Of course, Gemstone Caverns.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Okay. So that was number eight, I think?
That was number eight, I think.
What was number seven? My number seven was Scalding Tarn, so that was another loss.
That's another loss. Yeah, you should have had Mana Vault instead.
Yeah, I didn't even have Mana Vault on my list.
That's another loss.
I just put Mana Vault back into Sissé, and if Sissé can play Mana Vault, a deck that is notoriously pip-intensive, I think that's got to be worth considering.
I'll put it this way. There's only 15% of decks that don't.
That's like Yuriko and no one else, right?
Basically, yeah. Yuriko and maybe still some Sissé pilots.
Yeah, because I think there's a line with Emil and Kinnan and Mana Vault.
Oh, of course. You can make infinite colorless mana that way.
Yeah, and then do something else if you have
Orcish Bowmaster that wins.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, anything that you can repeat in and out, or you can flicker out like an Arcane Signet then with your infinite colorless and then activate Sissé a bunch. And is that going to happen often? No, probably not. But Mana Vault
gives you the option,
Mana Vault can also cast Smothering Tithe and can also cast Sissé and is also just an Emil activation on kind of suspend over there when you're ready to go for it.
And it allows you to cast your commander on turn two.
Which
is
great.
Like most 4-5 mana commander decks are going to want this because it allows you to do that.
It has always been for me, Mana Vault was if I'm playing a commander with three generic pips in the command zone as well as playing Ad Nauseam, then I want Mana Vault. But I think recently, especially in the absence of Mana Crypt, sometimes Mana Vault is the thing you need to tutor for. There's better than Sol Ring because it allows you to tutor for a turn two Smothering Tithe a lot more easily. So yeah, it makes sense that it's in a lot more decks. I had just forgotten it.
Yeah, I do like it in openers where you are very Signet heavy, so you can go turn one, Mana Vault into Signet, into another Signet, so you can still untap, play a land, and have four mana then too. So like, I really like how it just helps you accelerate into really good board states.
Yeah, definitely. That was number seven, I think.
Yeah, so our number six, this is where you should have put Ancient Tomb.
That's where I put Polluted Delta. I had my Ancient Tomb at number five. Yeah, so that's another loss for me.
So this is 87.2% of decks that play Ancient Tomb. I don't know who doesn't.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't play Ancient Tomb?
Who doesn't play Ancient Tomb?
Let me think about this for a moment.
Is this a price thing too?
Because this might be a price
all
thing.
All versions of Ancient Tomb, whether they are different arts or they are list reprints, roughly go for about $100 usually.
It could be that. I wonder if something like a Yuriko doesn't play Ancient Tomb.
Yeah, they probably don't want it. Yeah, good point.
I agree. I think Ancient Tomb should just about go in every deck.
In every deck. If
even
you play
even five
Signets,
color decks, it's like the first colorless land that I go to in every one of my decks.
And
before.
I'll always make sure that there's room for at least that in as far as colorless lands go.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that it's so low. Very surprised.
Me too. I'm also very surprised, yeah.
I'm going to write down real quick my true losses off to the side, which are the cards that I completely forgot to include.
Okay.
Mana Vault. And then what was the other one so far that we've hit? Oh, Force.
Force of Will. Did you have Flusterstorm on
yours? I'll revisit later.
You had Arcane Signet and Mox Diamond on there?
I missed Arcane. Okay. What was our number? Where are we at? Five?
We're in the top five now.
Top five most played cards. I have the opportunity still to get four out of these top five, right?
Correct. You do. And I think based on cards we haven't talked about so far,
I think I might be closer on these
five. I think you have a really good shot at this. Yeah, the hardest part was definitely 6 through 20, I would say. That's definitely the hardest part, yeah. But you definitely get major losses here. What did you put for number five?
I have Command Tower.
Oh, okay. So you are going to have a couple of losses up in the top five here still.
Command Tower's got to be in the top five.
So it is. So you will get half of a point for this one. Yeah.
Okay. What's our number five?
Gemstone Caverns went right here.
Yeah, that's a complete miss.
Yeah, now this is 87. 7.3% of decks that play this.
So there are decks that are not playing Gemstone.
And maybe this is just people don't appreciate the upside of it in your opening hand, and they top deck it. They see it top decked more often, and then go, nah, man, I don't like this card.
Some of it, honestly, like, although we think of CDH as true optimization all the time, it's not exactly like that. People just have limited stuff. If they're in non-proxy, you know, tournaments, they just maybe don't have a Gemstone Caverns.
And I think, could also be something else, too.
I think that's the most realistic thing. In my opinion, you should see 100. I don't know what deck is not playing it, but maybe there's something I'm not thinking of.
Again, even if we don't consider the percentages and we are taking out the whole proxy thing too, it would still be somewhere up here in the top five still.
Yeah, I think so.
When I make a new deck in Moxfield, when I hit the packages button and I hit the expensive land mana base button, this card does not auto-populate in that.
I don't think it's that expensive. I think it's like 30, 40 bucks last I checked, which is a lot for
which is totally fair. Yeah. But like the rest of the CEDH lands that I'm looking for populate in there pretty much right away, right? So that's why some decks that I build originally don't have Gemstone Caverns, because I forget to go back in and add Gemstone Caverns.
Okay, yeah.
So
it could
I don't
be a
know
slip
if,
of
like,
the mind.
It could be a slip of the mind because, like, this is something that you don't think of until someone else does it, and then you go,
oh, shit, I forgot Gemstone. That's
did I
why,
forget to put
that,
Gemstone
That's why I was a land off, and it just happened. How many percent does this he play?
87.3%.
So 13% of the time, people just forget.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking it is. Okay.
All right, number four.
Number four, I have Lotus Petal.
Oh, dude, you're going to be so mad. Oh, it's Chrome Mox.
Oh, fuck.
It's Chrome
Mox. I have Chrome Mox at number three.
Arguably, we should be giving you full points for all of the things that are on the list, but I don't feel like it's right to give you full points.
We should have come up with the point system a little bit more firmly before we began, because there's no way this is right. But I'm going to take a half a point for Chrome Mox right now.
You should, yeah.
And then I'm going to take a full loss for not getting the number four right.
Correct, yeah. Because this is 87.8% of decks, which I think starts to make a little bit more
sense. Interesting that Lotus Petal is either not on this list or higher than Chrome Mox.
So Lotus Petal is the cheapest mana rock.
Ah. This is, okay, of course, yes, yes, yes.
Well, no, it's not.
Is, yeah. Which is the number, I don't know, I can spoil it, but we know what it is.
It was spoiled when we announced the title of the podcast.
Oh, was it? Okay.
The most played cards? Yeah, everyone knows what it is.
All right, so four I got wrong, which I took the loss for, and is Chrome Mox. Chrome Mox is arguably, it's one of the best mana rocks that we, if not the best, one of the best mana rocks we have in CH.
Yeah.
Not the best.
Whatever the worst card in your hand is that you can win without turns into the mana that you need to cast the cards that you win with.
My favorite thing to do with Deathrite Shaman is put it under Chrome Mox.
Dude, I love turning temporary mana like Simeon Spirit Guide into Chrome Mox. I love putting Squee under Chrome Mox so I can tap it for red to cast Squee later.
Chrome Mox is also good because you don't have to pitch something. If you want to just play it with your Urza and you just play it for no pitching anything, it's still a Mox Sapphire. If you want to just get a Storm Count, if you want to just cast a spell.
If you want to turn on your Mox Opal, these will go hand in hand.
I just need the one more mana. I can turn on my Mox Opal by playing the Chrome Mox, not pitching anything, then I'm good to go. This can serve that purpose.
Even though you top decked it with no cards in hand.
Okay, so then what's our number three?
Command Tower.
Command Tower is number three.
88.5% of decks.
Still 88. What the heck?
What that tells me is that there's probably about 10.5% of the format is monocolor decks, but I would also not be surprised if some number of monocolor decks played it.
In monocolor decks, basic land is strictly better than Command Tower, right? There's no basic land hate whatsoever. And although non-basic land hate is rare, it does exist.
I guess, yeah.
Right? There's nothing. Strip Mine is the only thing, but Strip Mine could also hit the Command Tower just the same, so it's equal there. Like, what would be a reason to play Command Tower over basic?
Because you only have 8 basics when you need
only,
9
you
and
only
you just
own
it's
eight.
Just sitting over there.
You have 8 matching swamps and a 9th one that's mismatched. You're like, "Bah, fuck that. Command Tower."
No, what you should have done is found 8 other mismatching swamps.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Okay. So then for this one, I get a loss for getting the slot wrong, but I get a 0.5 right for getting the Command Tower right in another slot.
Cuz Command Tower is on another slot. Yeah. So that's 88.5% of decks that play that. And then the number 2, the second most played card in the format, Dylan.
I have Mox Diamond.
You have Mox Diamond. So you get a half point cuz it's on the list.
Wait. Oh, right. Because we already went over Mox Diamond.
Yeah.
But
Mox.
Which number was Mox Diamond?
Mox Diamond was number 8, I want to say.
Eight.
Number 8.
Okay. So I got it wrong. What was the real number 2?
What do you think it is now?
Number two's got to be Lotus Petal.
It is Lotus Petal. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Lotus Petal. Yeah. 88.6% of decks play Lotus Petal.
Interesting. More people play Lotus Petal than Chromox and Mox Diamond.
Again, I think it's a price thing for proxies because after the Mana Crypt Band, Mana Vault, Mox Opal, and Chromox doubled in price in a lot of circumstances.
Which ones?
Mana Vault and Mox Opal and Chromox.
Is Mox Opal not on this list?
Mox Opal is not on this list.
Huh. I'm realizing now that's a little strange.
Chunky does not play Mox Opal.
Huh. I'm realizing now that's a little strange.
I can't guarantee I have three artifacts in play at all times.
But you flip into other people's spells. I trust you.
It's good then, but it's not good at helping me get chunky.
It's like the Magda thing. Why Magda cut
Mox Diamond and Mox Amber.
Yeah, because they don't actually help get Magda out.
Exactly.
Mox Amber specifically.
After, yeah, what are you ramping into after Magda that Magda's not going to get
okay,
you?
Okay, interesting. So Lotus Petal. Also, Lotus Petal isn't card disadvantage on its own. It is card disadvantage, and then you have to waste an extra card to play out your thing earlier, but it doesn't get rid of a card like Chromox and Mox Diamond do. So
it just gets rid of itself. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then did I count that as a loss, I think?
It should be a loss and a half
and a
because
half.
Your number two was wrong, but Lotus Petal is on the list.
And then number one I get right. We're at number one, right?
We're at number one.
Soul Ring.
Nice. Yeah, you did get that right. I bet a lot of people got this one right. Can you guess how many percent of decks, like what percentage of decks are playing this card?
95.
It's higher. It is higher. It's actually 98.5.
98. Okay, there are two. I know there are Yuriko pilots that don't want to play Soul Ring. I think they're wrong, but they do exist.
They do exist, yeah. So there's a very small percentage of people that don't actually want it. But, I mean, this is the commander card.
The epitome of. The strongest card in our format.
Yeah, that's not a game changer, even though it's the best card and most played card in CEDH.
There's nothing else to be said about Soul Ring.
Nothing else to be said. Yeah.
I think the most important thing that it does, realistically, it helps you pay for Heuristic Study and helps you pay command tax on your commander. Even if it doesn't help cast any of your spells or whatever, the fact that it just allows you to hopefully play a little bit around Heuristic Study when you need to, I think that's good enough. And then all the other shit.
I love playing turn one Mystic Remora and then turn two paying for Mystic Remora and then going turn two Soul Ring and then go, you guys are fucked.
Everyone knows that the Mystic Remora is staying around forever now.
Exactly. And then people give up and start just feeding it then. Yeah.
Should we talk about what the full top 10, like all in order, or top 20 list is? Like just ramble them out quick?
Sure. Yeah. So we got the top 20 are Force of Will, Mana Confluence, Flusterstorm, Heuristic Study, Verdant Catacombs, City of Brass, Mystic Remora, Scalding Tarn, Flooded Strand, Polluted Delta, Misty Rainforest, Arcane Signet, Mox Diamond, Mana Vault, Ancient Tomb, Gemstone Caverns, Chromox, Command Tower, Lotus Petal, and Soul Ring.
This makes a lot of sense. It's kind of funny that there are no win conditions on this list, right?
It kind of is, yeah. But I
and
think
it's basically
it does make,
all mana.
I think it does make sense because this looks at the entirety of the format and keeps in mind that many decks win with their commanders and are agnostic to a lot of just like game winning cards in particular.
Yes.
So I think that all encompassing, I think this list makes a lot of sense. I want to know what your final score was, Dylan.
My final score was 5 wins, 12 half wins, and 24 losses.
That's wild. Okay. Where's my calculator? So it was
12 half wins.
12 half wins is 6 wins.
No. There are 12 half wins. I got 5 wins.
I was going to give you 11 wins because the half wins
you're gonna
combine
them? No.
Two half wins equals a full win.
No.
Okay, so we're going to keep them separate.
They're separate.
Yeah, I mean, that also makes sense because it would technically...
It's like they're draws. They're like a draw.
You're right. It would technically...
You don't, 2 draws don't make a win. 5 draws make a win.
It would
right?
not be accurate to say you got 11 wins. Good point, yeah.
I got 5 wins, 12 half wins, and 24 losses, which is...
Way better than I thought you would do.
Wrong somehow, because this number should equal 40, I think. It equals 41. So I doubled up on a loss somewhere, I think. I think I doubled up somewhere.
Somewhere got doubled
one
up.
One of these is wrong. But pretty close then. If that total number is 41, is that math right?
Considering 12 plus 5 is 17 plus 24.
That's how you add that number? 24
well,
plus 12
this?
Is 36 plus 5 is 31 is how I add that number.
Well, you got to the wrong number because it's 41.
41. That's what I meant. 36.
I know, but I have to use this as leverage against you because I'm losing the argument.
Because my way of counting that was right.
I'm about to go on my phone.
Get jousting games to look at. Cool. That was a good list. How many did you get right below? If you were watching, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, and put Shit, I should have said put your list in the comments, not a note in your phone.
Yeah.
Put your list in the comments before the episode starts.
Yeah.
All right, now we have to start the episode
whole thing over again.
God damn it.
Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Mr. Jerby, The Cardboard Cookbook, Penguin Man 0089, Eli the Magic Eye, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Wars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Group B, Gecko 21, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Connor Sipon, Joshua Day, Peter Stewart, Cornell Wild, Uncle Buds, Kawaja, A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, Baby G Bus.
Thanks, Cam. If you like sports directly, you can do so on our Patreon. No. If you like, what is the next one? Dragon Shield. We have 5% off Dragon Shield.
Thanks, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content, and we have merch too. Ta-ta.
I'm so warm. Okay. John Koba, The Gaming Kinkajou, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin, Man Solo, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. Sorry, I gotta move the camera because you can't see it.
Two more, I think.
Nice, we got a shot of you talking into your dick.
Oh, wow. I was shorter than I thought.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.